And welcome. My name is Amy Toy. I'm the host of Angel Answers. And today I have a very special guest, Dr. Eric Pearl, who has authored Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life. This is his second book. He's a successful chiropractor who left his practice in Los Angeles with a bizarre series of occurrences that led him to realize that his gift lay far beyond the realm of spinal adjustment. And he had reported one patient after the other with cancers, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, and other severe health conditions, and Dr. Pearl just laid his hands near them. And it's amazing because he also had one occurrence after the other, especially with a patient named Frederick Ponslov, who and others began delivering coherent messages about his healings that were occurring, seemingly coming from a source beyond our four-dimensional existence on Earth. You know, and seeking to understand that, Dr. Pearl consulted many leaders in science, medicine, spirituality, discovering they did not hold the answers either. And he also, supported by researchers affiliated with institutions such as Harvard, Yale, and Stanford, Dr. Pearl went on to pioneer studies on healing frequencies running through him and their effects on people, which he termed reconnected healing, a comprehensive spirit healing approach which completely transcends energy healing. And to date, 75,000 people around the world have been trained in connective healing. He's been on Dr. Oz, in the New York Times, and on CNN. He's also presented at leading venues, including the United Nations and Madison Square Garden. His internationally best-selling first book, The Reconnection, Healing Others, Heal Yourself, now in more than 36 languages, has been endorsed by notables such as Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer. Welcome, Dr. Pearl. How are you today?
Thank you. Very excellent. And thank you. And thank you for having me on your program.
Thank you very much. This was a phenomenal book. Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life, and you co-authored it with Frederick Ponslov. Is that correct? I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Yes, you are. Absolutely.
Okay, great. I was trying to find it. Tell me, how did you come about to write this phenomenal book, Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life? Can you tell us about that journey a little bit?
Well, yes, and the journey actually began in August of 1993, when one night I was awakened in the middle of the night by a very bright light. It wasn't seemingly anything spiritual or metaphysical, because when I opened my eyes to look, it was simply the lamp next to my bed, which had for some reason decided to turn itself on. So I figured that was something electrical, you know, like an electrical short or something like that, except shorts usually turn things off, and I'd never heard of an electrical long before, but there it was. Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, I had a very clear feeling, or you might say an awareness, that I had been being watched. It felt as if someone had been in my home observing me, and this was not a light sensation. I mean, it was so real that I actually got up with a knife and a can of pepper spray and my phone at my shoulder pincher, honest to God, and went hunting through the house to see who might be here for a good 15 or 20 minutes, because it's a large house. And I looked and looked and looked, and finally, after a while, as much as it felt as if something real was here, I knew that it just seemed insane at the same time, and at least my imagination. And so what I did was I told myself it had to be my imagination. I went back to sleep. But that Monday morning when I went into my office, seven of my patients, independently of one another, began to insist that they were feeling people in the rooms with us, just as I had been feeling people in my home. In other words, what I would do is I would adjust my patients, and I would tell them to close their eyes and relax, and allow the adjustment to settle into place. And when they opened their eyes, They would ask me who was in the room watching them. They would tell me that they were feeling hands resting, pairs of hands resting on their shoulders, on their forehead, gently stroking their arms, even underneath them. They told me that they could feel my hands even when I wasn't touching them. I would close their eyes and hold my hands near them several inches, several feet, sometimes several yards away, and they could still tell me where they were sensing my hands touching them. As I would hold my hands that way, I would see their bodies go into seemingly involuntary responses. Their fingers would begin to move, their arms and legs would jerk, tiny muscles in their face, the involuntary muscles that we could not move intentionally, would ripple the way water ripples if you drop a pebble into it, pulling at their eyebrows, pulling at their lips. Their eyes would back and forth. When they would open their eyes, they reported seeing colors they had never before seen, smelling fragrances of flowers they'd never smelled before, and they started reporting healings, real healings, that were getting up out of wheelchairs, some of them, vision and hearing returning, children with cerebral palsy or epilepsy were suddenly able to walk and run and play and speak normally. Their doctors would call, ask me what I had done, saying they weren't requiring any medications any longer, they weren't seizures. I would say I didn't do anything and don't tell anyone, which ended up going over about as big as the United States government trying to just say no to drugs. So soon everyone started coming in from everywhere else going, I'll have what she had. And the next thing we know, people started asking me to teach this. And I said, teach it? You've got to be insane. I said, I am standing here waving my hands in the air looking like an idiot. I said, you go outside, wave your hands in the air, let me know what your neighbors have to say about you. But they would call me up after they got home and say the strangest things. They said, I drove up in front of my house, and before I could hit the button to open the electric garage door, it started to open and close by itself, or I walked inside my house, my lamp or my television began to turn itself on and off. I felt sensations in my hands. I would hold them near someone in my family, and suddenly my grandfather regained the use of his arms after the stroke, or my aunt could hear again, or her cross eyes straightened out. And we began to discover, to recognize that once we interact with what science today calls the reconnective healing frequencies, once we begin to interact with that, that it changes our, according to at least six international studies so far, it changes the level of light and light that we emit from our DNA. It brings about healings that tend to be fairly instantaneous and tend to be lifelong, not just for ourselves, but allows us to facilitate this for others. So I was going on quite Mr. Toad's wild ride, which I didn't realize was about to get even wilder. I do want you to know that so far with that, I did start to teach this. And so far, you know, the first book that I've had written, which is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, is just an international bestseller in approximately 39 different languages. And I've taught close to 100,000 people so far in full weekend seminars how to do this work. Just taught about close to 1,000 people in Paris a few weeks ago, and about 400 or 500 in Sacramento last weekend, going to Barcelona and Bogota to continue this in the next couple of weeks. But and I speak at hospitals and universities, presented just recently for the second time at the United Nations. I mean, this is being acknowledged and recognized as reconnective healing as being something relatively new and different, and the simplicity with which you can learn to do this. I mean, when we give these seminars, it's a very simple thing. We give a 3-hour presentation on a given Friday evening, where we talk about the history of the work, the theory, the philosophy. We bring up volunteers from the audience, actual volunteers with long-term medically documented problems, and we give live demonstrations of the healings right then and there on the spot, and we give everyone an opportunity for you to feel this in your hands because it's very palpable and clear. But that's the Friday night portion. Saturday and Sunday is very, very, very different because it's a real working seminar, and I always warn people, don't come, and I mean it. don't come if you think that we're all going to sit around, hold hands, om, sing Kumbaya, my Lord, pull up make-believe zippers and wear pure hats. It will not happen that way. I demonstrate clearly a level of the work from the stage, and then let's say that you attended a seminar. What would happen is then we would go to massage tables. You would stand at the head of the massage table. Someone else would lie down on the table. My teaching team and I would walk around to each of the tables. We will take your hands and show you how to find this, how to feel it, how to access this expanded bandwidth of healing frequencies. And what you will witness right in front of your very eyes is that the person lying on your table will go into those same involuntary types of movements, arms, legs, fingers, feet, and you will then learn, we'll show you how to access different parts of this, for example, Amy, and you'll start to see their bodies move differently as you access different portions of this, as it feels different to you, and you will start to clearly recognize, come in your own knowingness, that something that you are doing is clearly, without a doubt, incontrovertibly having effects on this person that you can witness, and you'll probably start to understand that you are opening a door or somehow or other shepherding or escorting them into a healing space. And by the end of that weekend, and I'm not talking about 3 years or 6 months or even 6 weeks, but by the end of that one weekend, I can pretty much make the two promises, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing I can do. And B, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that any human being anywhere on this planet can do. And that's phase one of the wild ride, which then, if I back up, I can explain to you where the book, the new book, Solomon's Feast on Reconnecting Your Life, has come from.
Yes, and it's amazing because we all have this healing ability within ourselves. And people don't get that. You know, we all have it. And that's the amazing part of this book. It just reminds people we all have it. And yeah, let's talk about Solomon Speaks. I just find it interesting how you met Fred. Can you explain that and how your story? Yeah, and then we'll go into Solomon and how.
Let me add something to what you just said. We are not talking. See, this is getting stranger. We are not talking about the innate gifts that we've all been carrying. We're talking about, as time expands, as we access greater levels of energy, light, and information on this planet, something that has lying dormant within us is being activated, and we are learning to access new levels of healing that had not been part of our potential until we interact with this. So there's a fascinating change in this and what we can access, and it requires that we interact with it. It requires us to rise above the ego of saying, everyone can do this, and I'm entitled to being able to do it, to say, wait a minute, there's actually a greater gift that I'm being offered to step into, and it requires one thing, to transcend the ego sufficiently to say, in order for me to access this, I will interact with another human being who is already doing this, to receive this, I will interact with another being to learn how to do that. And that's the next level of our understanding, to transcend the place where we have been in the concept of separateness and ego with it. So what happened with Solomon Speaks and how this came through was, there was a 3-month period of time. Well, let's explain it this way. The healings had begun, and they had gone on for a few months. Before they had begun, I'd had a patient named Fred Ponslov who came in to see me for chiropractic. He had had one visit, didn't even know what a chiropractor was. He had won a visit at a charity event. It was something I had donated. He came in for that first visit, and he had actually, what he had won was 3 visits. So he was gone for a few months. The healings had started. He came back in not knowing anything about it, expecting his second chiropractic visit, whatever that would be, because he didn't know what chiropractic was either. I adjusted his neck, and I told him to close his eyes and relax. I held my hands near him, and the next thing I saw was his head jerked back. His eyes rolled upward to the side of his head and then began to dart back and forth rapidly. His mouth opened. His tongue began to move in a way that you could see that it was clearly forming vowels, and air began to audibly escape through his mouth. The air soon condensed itself into a voice, and the voice said, "We are here to tell you to continue doing what you were doing. What you were doing is bringing light and information onto the planet." Now, my assumption was there was something unique about this person, Fred. Maybe it was his imagination. Maybe he was actually gifted. Maybe he channeled anything through him. I didn't know anything about him. I figured it was him. Howsoever, 2 days later, it happened to three other patients. A few days later, it happened to five other patients. Altogether, there were six verbatim phrases, word for word, that was spoken by 50 different individuals, all strangers to one another, none of which, except for Fred, the first patient, ever had a voice come through them before. Now, imagine if it just came through Fred, I would have chalked it off as something unique one way or another to Fred.
Right.
But when it came through over 50 different people, that was my first understanding that I was in the presence of something huge and awesome. But then, just when I was starting to get comfortable with it, it stopped. It stopped coming through every single person. It just stopped, and I thought I had done something wrong. But it had continued coming through Fred. And after a while, I came to the understanding that it had come through over 50 different people for me to recognize somewhere in the universe, some dimension, was able to reach through the fabric of the illusion of time and space to turn over 50 human beings into living broadcast systems so that simply I would pay attention to the information coming in. And I did. I started to pay attention. I asked Fred if we could continue to interact in this way that the voice came through him, and he wasn't sure that he wanted to. He was self-conscious about it. He didn't hear what was coming through him. He was worried about what he was saying. He felt responsible for it, but I could gently coerce them into giving these sessions at times, and I would record them. The first few times I tried to tape record them, the first time the tape recorder broke down. So the second time I got three tape recorders, all three broke down. After a couple more experiences of that, I finally had to go out and invest into an expensive recording system, just something that would hold up to being in these frequencies, because the information is not just in the words, but it's in the energy shared and communicated in what happens. And yet, I can tell you about the beauty of these pros that come through, these insights into accessing and unveiling the truth and deeper levels of who we are, whether we want to become healers or whether we just want our own healing and evolution in our own lives, personal relationships, careers, or health-related. But that's like describing a color. So if you would like, and we can do this at different times today if you want, but if you would like, I can share just a little bit of a segment of it so you can get a feel for it.
Sure, why not? Yes, I would love that. I think the audience would love to hear that.
Okay, and here we go. You're kind of here to understand the deeper sense of for truth. You recognize that your heart. Oh, and by the way, Amy, I want to back up and tell everyone. These words were spoken specifically to me, but they were not spoken to me, Eric Pearl, the human being, just for me. They were spoken to me, Eric Pearl, who unbeknownst to me, was about to become the voice to start, along with Fred, to bring this new consciousness onto the planet. But that was only for a pinpoint moment, because we are all given the opportunity to pick up the mantle of this responsibility if we choose and share this information. So this will mean the most to us if we allow these words, if we allow ourselves to hear them as being spoken directly to you, the listening audience.
Okay.
So you need to recognize that your heart is in a space that is allowing you to illustrate your greater being. Your feelings now are being carried through on a different plane. Your energy exists in this sphere of influence that is central to your understanding of a different sphere of influence. And you are allowed to carry yourself in this plane. There's a lot that needs to be said in various ways. We understand ourselves in a limited fashion, and we need to carry this understanding as a life process. It is the unveiling of a multidimensional, multifaceted force within our life. We need to peel away the exterior so that the internal being shines through to those we come in contact with. This eternal soul that resides within our framework is being covered up in many ways by our apprehensions. And in your work, whether it's on yourself, whether it's as a healer, in your work, that is what you need to do. You need to unveil your soul. It is not a simple process. And this stripping away of ego is an eternal process. This selflessness that must shine through the being that can reach in without interference. Once that pure force shines through without it being refracted by various mindsets, it will flow in a more direct manner. Once you allow your soul, that egoless purity, to come through, that is almost a common denominator in that it has the ability to automatically fuse with the frequency of the person you're coming in contact with. So your job in this process is to strip away the defense, strip away the mind, strip away the techniques and other control mechanisms that you have in this plane. Let them go. Let them be a part of an exterior that has nothing to do with you, and present the soul in the room. It will automatically do the work. That energy is the common universal language of the cosmos. It is understood immediately and is felt intrinsically.
Wow. I love that, because it's really telling us to get out of our own way.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is. It's amazing when we allow things just to come through us and not try to control it. That's when we do our best work.
Solomon explains to us, you see, not just the work. Solomon gives us insight and brings us into a space where we start to ask greater questions of ourselves and of the universe. So we peel away the exterior layers and start to access greater depths of who we are. So if, for instance, we're in the healing field, by being our greater selves, we facilitate greater healing. And otherwise, by being our greater selves, we become greater parents, greater people, greater partners in our relationships, in our careers. But one of the things that Solomon says is a key message today is that we are here to learn compassion. We are here to learn to stop looking at ourselves to see what makes me special, what makes us special and unique. To let go of the T-shirts that say, kiss me, I'm Irish, kiss me, I'm Italian, kiss me, I'm this. That leads us to, you know, kiss me, I'm Jewish, kiss me, I'm Muslim, leads to an I'm better than you separation. But instead, for us to learn to ask the questions, be willing to really look for not what makes us different, but what makes us all one and the same. Can we reconnect with the essence and the truth of who we are? See that we each carry this, and recognize that we are each raised the same sun, that we each carry the hologram of the intelligence of God, of love, of the universe. Solomon says there are such sufferings happening in the world, and our sufferings lead us away if we allow them, but we too often negate our suffering and somehow become victim to it. Yet suffering can bring immense joy if it is focused. The lessons we exchange are those that continue from lifetime to lifetime, and creation is such that it comes from an unequal and unparalleled force. It is not a misunderstanding. It is manifest at moments when we create out of love and beneficent faith, because malevolence is only a twisted rope. It needs to be stretched out and straightened. It is the nature of our thirst that determines that which comes to you. And a lot of us recognize that we are thirsty, but we don't always take the time to observe the nature of our thirst, and that's what makes these determinations. And understanding here is that many of us feel that there is a separateness between us, and that is where we often err in our understanding. But we are all here as one. We flower in different fields. We come from the same soil. And if it is your will to understand, we also want to understand that we have our own vibration, but we are of the same sound. We all have the music of life in our will, in our actions. And the voice that rises up from within us becomes the voice, is the voice that heals us. It's essential, however, to persevere in spite of our palette that is limited in colors. There are other colors. We will discover them. We have to embrace our lives individually and then unite. Flow forward, like a wave that cannot be stopped. It moves. I wish you well.
That's easier said than done, isn't it?
You know, maybe it's not easier said than done. Maybe it's easier said than approached, because we have, in the approach of reaching this level, we have to walk through some of our fears and insecurities. Yet once we do and arrive in this space, we find that there is such amazing ease. Ease meaning health, meaning balance in our life. There's such amazing ease that we really, on some level or other, don't know why we didn't get there sooner.
Yes, when we walk through those things in our life that we perceive as maybe impediments or, you know, obstacles, they're really not.
They're really not. They are lessons.
Really, yes.
Look at a high jumper. Look at a high jumper, for example. There is this, I don't know if you can call it what to jump over, but let's say we'll the barrier. This is barrier. You can either stop at the barrier and say, here is this impediment, to use your word, or you can jump over it and say, look, I can do this now. And when we run up to the next one that's a little higher, we stretch and we do that, and we stretch and we do that. And we grow by overcoming these barriers. There is so much intense information that as I held on to these recordings, and I held on to them, I want you to know, Amy, for 20 years, I finally got back in touch with Fred, and I said, you know, we've been sitting on this for 20 years. It's time to put together. And I have a time. It happened to be or 2011 that we made this decision. And with my traveling schedule, because I'm on the road about 45 weeks a year, by the time we got it together into Hay House, it was 2012, and it came out in 2013, right after the transition from 2012. So clearly there was a grander orchestration in the timing of this, that it was appropriate. But here's what I'm really, 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 in case you haven't gotten really yet excited about, which is that this Saturday, 2 days from now, this Saturday at the Hilton Hotel in Century City, the Hilton in Universal City in Los Angeles, we're giving a one-day event, the first time only I've actually gotten Fred to agree, and this is not as easy as it sounds, for us to give a presentation to talk about the material, to discuss it, how it affects our lives, how it affects everyone's lives, and then he will give a live presentation, a live channeling of this information, new information that is not yet in the book, that none of us, not even Fred, have heard yet. We don't know what this will be or where it will come from. But we've gotten such a response. We only suddenly decided to do this, and we got such a response in the past 2 weeks since we made this decision to do it, that we have now made it available on live streaming around the world in 66 different languages.
Wow. Holy cow.
So just like the book, the first book I was talking about is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The information in all of this is on TheReconnection.com, whether you want to attend live. And I do believe there might be about 33 seats left in the in the Hilton Hotel here in Los Angeles in Universal City this Saturday. But otherwise, you can also learn how to attend it via live stream. It is an all-day event starting at 10 in the morning, running to 5 at night.
Wow.
Or 5 in the evening.
Well, that's phenomenal. Yes, I'll definitely check that out. It's amazing that Fred was a reluctant participant. I read that. I was like, wow.
Yeah, reluctant is putting it a little mildly. Little mildly.
But the information that... now, Solomon is really not a... It's a collective, correct? It's more of a collective...
Seems to be a collective group of what we might refer to as intelligences, or some people might try to refer to it as entities, but I think it's formless. It's not physical, but it's a definite personality, and there are a couple of personalities, at least, involved in this intelligence. We've only experienced two of them, although Fred is under the belief that there is at least one more, and there may be many more. I want you to know that Fred, even now, even today, is like, oh, I don't know, should I do it? I'm nervous about it. You know, I mean, Fred is a little afraid to do this because for the longest time he said, I don't know what I'm saying. He says he'll speak the first three words he'll hear. When he gets to the fourth word, he doesn't hear it. If Solomon says, I feel you should go to the store, obviously Solomon wouldn't say anything that mundane, but Fred will hear, I feel you, and then when he gets to should, he doesn't know the first part of it. And he said, what if this says something that it shouldn't say? What if it puts out a call to overthrow the government or to do something horrible or embarrassing? That's a reflection on me. But Fred has learned, as I have, to trust the exquisite, impeccable beauty of these messages. And so hopefully, with a little hand-holding, I know that Fred will be there to deliver something phenomenal on Saturday.
It's amazing because sometimes when we're called, we're not on purpose, we'll say, we're called, and spirit sometimes, or whoever, on the other, they'll kind of put us into something. That's how I had two near-death experiences before I really came to grips with my psychic abilities and what my purpose was. So I understand poor Fred. I totally get it.
I was born through a near-death experience. I don't know if you read The Reconnection, my first book, but the entire...
No, that's my next one, though. I do have you because I want to read that. I like this one. I ordered it, so I do have it. That's my next book.
The entire second chapter of The Reconnection, it was the most difficult chapter for me to write because my mother died giving birth to me and came back to life, and this was before we had the great teachers in it, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, Raymond Moody, Daniel Brinkley, before we had Evan Alexander talking about this. And she shared this story with me, and it was the most difficult for me to write because, as she explained, as you well know, we don't truly have words comprehensive enough to express the experience and what goes on and the emotions and the feelings that are there. And we worked and worked as diligently as possible to get it as close to a way to describe it, to make it real for you, the reader, as possible within the constraints of the limitations of the English language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you cannot sometimes articulate what you've experienced, and it's amazing because I love what I do, and I would never change it, but when you're reluctant, it's fear. It's fear. It's like walking through that fear or going over that jump or, hurdle.
How far apart were your near-death experiences, or as I refer to them, life after death, because I think if you were there, you weren't near death, you know that you would die.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I was my second one. They did say I was clinically dead for, oh, my gosh, my mom says 7 minutes, and they couldn't revive me, and they told my mother, because I was in a car accident, and they said, she's not going to make it. If she doesn't make it through the night, by the grace of God, it is. But I believe 5 years apart. I was 22 with my first one and 27 with my second one.
Well, I was attached at the umbilical cord to my mother. This was during the delivery process. So where she went, on some level, I went as well. And many people attribute the gifts of reconnective healing that have come through me to the fact that I was with her for this experience. I was freshly being born and got to go back behind the veil and experience it. I don't have the recall of it. I mean, her experience was that she felt herself leaving and she didn't want to die. And for all the struggle she did not to die, it didn't really matter. She left her body. She passed through three levels of beings. The first level were those of who have died, whose life had ended, but either didn't know it or weren't ready for it, felt incomplete, and were sort of hanging out here. The second level of being she passed through in her experience, she doesn't recall. The third level was uncomfortable. It was the only one that was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for those of us who die to pass through, and it was particularly uncomfortable for those who were on that level, because this was the level of the people who had done the only thing that they could possibly do to temporarily interrupt God's plan, which was they had taken their own lives. Yet they would probably, she felt, move on through that. And the next thing she knew, she was drifting down a lane without walking, which she feels is what most people refer to as that tunnel experience. And alongside of her, she saw beautiful flowers of colors that she had never seen before. She saw people she knew from this lifetime and many lifetimes. She understood how one look could convey volumes, how ridiculous it is to judge people by appearance. She understood that if there was only one regret those people have who have died, or loved ones have who have died, is that the people left behind mourn them because they don't understand, they don't know what a beautiful, exquisite place it is, that it's home from which we all come, to which we all return. And then down the lane, suddenly she saw this beautiful, bright, intense, bright light. It was so bright she was afraid to look at it. She thought it might burn her eyes. She was compelled to look. It didn't burn. And she realized there was nothing physical to burn. And as she arrived before that light, her life was laid out before her. And although there was no judgment, she knew it was a good life. She got to experience the pleasure she brought and sometimes the lack of pleasure that she brought to people's lives. And she was suddenly gifted with the secrets of the universe, why the earth is round, why the grass is green, why the sky is blue, how war is a temporary state of barbarism we are in right now as humanity, that we will evolve beyond, how utterly ridiculous it is for young men and women to go out and lose their lives in battles fighting for political gains of older men and women. And she knew how she understood so much. I can't recall it all. And as she was exalting living in this gorgeous new space where she was, knowing fully well that it's only moments, really, until the others that we know and love will be there with us in that experience, she suddenly found herself being sent back. And for all the struggling she did not die in the first place, now she didn't want to return, but she was told she had to return to raise her son, to raise me. And she struggled to hold on to the insight she was given because she understood immediately that she was programmed to not recall them, because we are not supposed to understand that we cannot blame God for anything, and that there is a reason for everything and everything makes perfect sense. We're supposed to understand it to some level, but not to own those truths here, because we are here to go through the experience of discovering them. We will all know the answers all too soon, but the gift, the growth of this human life experience doesn't come so much from the answers as it comes from being willing to ask the questions.
And it's amazing because Solomon talks about that we have our own knowledge, and it's in our own heart. And people fight that. They seek outside of themselves. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people seek outside of themselves? Why don't they trust their own heart, what's going on within themselves?
Because we don't know that we know. It's the fear The desire to be right feeds into the fear of being wrong, the what if. Every choice we make, every action that we take comes from fear, lack, limitation, the illusion of separation, the illusion of darkness, or comes from love, prosperity, oneness, unity, light. And we can't give a gift that we are unwilling to accept or receive. So in learning to give, it requires learning to receive. And this sounds, you know, easy enough on a surface level, but the reality is most of us are very, very, very naturally comfortable with giving. We love it. But to receive graciously is an acquired skill. It's an art, and it's part of our lesson. And our reward for this is that we learn that we are suddenly able to give yet even more. Many times, people come from a poverty consciousness. For example, in the healing seminars, I teach that you should be in fair financial exchange. Yes, actually, charge money just like any other healthcare for healing sessions as well, because it allows people to exchange a value and a gift where they feel worthy to receive the full value of the gift, and it allows them to support you in being able to continue your healing practice and help more and more people. And one of the reasons, one of the many reasons that we end up addressing at the seminars as to why people live in poverty consciousness, afraid to be in a fair financial exchange for healing sessions, the excuse one that comes up is that they simply love to give. They just want to give. And we have to explain that, you know, when we only give, we are not really giving. We are depriving the other person out of that one gift we love so much, which is their right to be able to give in return. And that requires us to learn to receive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is an acquired art, if you will, you know, to learn to receive graciously. And that is something, you know, I believe that a lot of our lessons, one of the lessons we all have to work through, I believe, you know, and I feel that it's a wonderful thing to teach that. I think we should teach our children that, how to receive graciously, too.
Yes, it's really time, because it's just, you know, you're familiar with the concept of the feng shui bagua.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize, so the Bagua has eight sides to it and a ninth if you consider the center. And all sides and aspects are equal because the Bagua is about being in balance. And the one of the sides that we don't always like to allow ourselves to look at, one corner of the Bagua is prosperity. Prosperity does not mean necessarily money. Prosperity and abundance in life and health, in relationships, but as I said, we cannot give a gift we are unwilling to receive. We can't remove one aspect of the Bagua and be in balance. You know, in energy healing techniques, Reiki, Jiraj, and Shin, Qigong, Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, all these different things, what do they teach us? Fear. They teach us protect yourself from this energy and that energy and pull up imaginary zippers and protect yourself in a white flame and a purple flame and wear this stone to protect you from this and this crystal or this necklace to protect you from that. And every time we bring a protection into the equation, what are we really introducing? Fear. And fear creates more fear. It's like one famous healing technique tells you, do the healing session and then shake all the negative energy off of your hands and spray yourself down with alcohol in case any is left on you, when in reality, we must learn to transcend these techniques. We must learn to transcend these protections and these rituals. We must learn to recognize that if there is any residue left over on us whatsoever from the healing process, it's the beauty of the perfection of God and love and the universe. Just like when you climb out of bed from that one special person in your life in whose arms you've been embraced or with whose legs you've intertwined all night or snuggled in the morning, and maybe you go downstairs to do a little work and you're quiet on a Sunday not to wake the person, and you reach across the table for something and you breathe in and you experience the scent of their body still gorgeously on yours, and you re-experience the love that you have for one another. And the question then comes about is, do you really feel like shaking that residue off and spraying yourself off with alcohol?
Mm-mm, no.
No.
Not at all. Yeah.
Not at all. And this is what we're here to learn. The healings with reconnective healing come about. There's so much science on what reconnective healing is because on one level, one of the reasons the scientists, the left brain scientists around the world are studying reconnective healing is because the healings tend to be so instantaneous often and often lifelong. You don't have to go back again and again and again. And the way to access it is to take off the training wheels of technique and the fear of protection. It's just like learning to ride a bicycle. You may start with training wheels until you develop your own sense of balance. And you can master the bicycle with training wheels. But you'll never master the bicycle until training wheels come off. That's the true gift of the training wheels. You don't add a second and third set. And with our energy healing techniques, we are not here to master an energy healing technique or to master six of them. We are here to recognize that the true gift in the technique comes only in its transcendence. We are not here to master the energy healing techniques. We are here to master healing.
Mm. Wow.
Not that I have an opinion on the subject or anything.
That's all right. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. It is true. I think we overcomplicate things by looking too much at the technique and not just experiencing the healing.
And being in fear that we are not enough, and therefore the fear, instead of allowing ourselves to remove the training wheels. You know, a parent has to give you the love and support to say it really is time to take the training wheels off the bicycle. And instead, what we do is we add training wheel after training wheel. I've mastered this technique, now I'm going to master this, now I'm going to master that. And we're riding through the healing world on a bicycle with 12 sets of training wheels when all we really needed to do was to remove them. You know, we are teachers and there are masters. The teachers tell us, come back and learn more, come back and learn more, write me another check, come back and learn more, my guides will give me a new insight, write me another check, learn more, my husband loves to deposit the checks. And what do the masters say? Don't come back. What do the masters say? We're not teaching you in the first place, they explain to us. We're simply allowing ourselves to learn by being in the presence of the consciousness. The masters say, don't come back. The teachers are experts at keeping us in their chairs, and the masters say, don't come back because I will need that chair, because they are in the knowingness that they will always be the new student as long as there is truth to be taught. But to allow for that space, we must empower the students to stop doing the healings and instead to become the healing, to stop trying to do the light and instead to become the light. And in our becoming this expanded level of light, we find that we simply inspire the healings within those with whom we interact.
Wow, that's very true. That's very true. Wow, yes, very much so. Well, Dr. Pearl, we're getting close to the end of the hour, which this has been a wonderful experience here. My head's spinning. I bet you go back to, you know, Solomon Speaks, and you definitely, because I know you notate, you said you take notes still, you have to digest things. Like, do you still do that with the chapters? Do you still read them again?
You know what I suggest with the book Solomon Speaks is that you don't sit down and try to read it through, but that you read a chapter or two, and you put it down and allow it to assimilate. You read a little more and allow it to assimilate. You'll go through the book different times in different ways, but one of the gifts of this book is that on another level, it's written on so many levels, it's perfectly appropriate to pick up Solomon Speaks on reconnecting your life and simply open it to the middle somewhere, and you will most likely find that exactly what is being spoken has to do with what is going on in your life at the moment. You know, as I said, the first book is called The Reconnection, the second is called Solomon Speaks. Everything exists on the website, thereconnection.com. It tells you about the seminars that we're giving all around the world. There will be 3 seminars in North America that are still coming about. As a matter of fact, coming up, there'll be one in Denver, September 13 through 15, one in Newport Beach, November 1 through 3, and one in Toronto, November 8 through 10. But this Saturday is the one that you can either be in attendance at if there's still room in Los Angeles at the Hilton Hotel, or you can live stream it and see it there. It's being translated, as I may have mentioned, into 66 different languages.
Wow, that is phenomenal. Dr. Pearl, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is totally awesome. I'm grateful that I got your book, and I'm going to continue on the path. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It is absolutely my pleasure.
And you have a great day. Goodbye, everyone. Have a great week. Here.